Welcome to BOU Global Tillim and Physic Daily Call. On behalf of the Orthodox Union, this is Naftali Herman. The Daily Call serves as a pause to our day, as an opportunity to convene together from around the world to daven, to pray for the various needs of Am Yisrael. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Chamishi, the ninth day of the month of Teves. Today's program this week is generously sponsored by Leslie Botnick for a complete healing for Klal Yisrael and a speedy end to the war. Please continue to daven for all those whose names are listed in our daily email, including the four children that we have been collectively davening for, Yehoshua Heschel ben Nechama Devora, Pesach Bitzalel ben Chaya Batsheba, Halina Orna Bas Chen Chana, and Raya Bas Michal. May they and all in need have a refuah shalema. Additionally, please keep in mind all of our precious brothers and sisters still being held hostage in Gaza. May they speedily today please return home to their families. And as I shared on the call yesterday, our hearts, our minds, our tefillos are with our brothers and sisters in Los Angeles, in Los Angeles County. St. Palomar de Ludraja, may the fires be put out and no more damage. And of course, more than anything, no fatalities. On behalf of EOU, it is my esteemed honor to welcome back to the Daily Call and introduce Rabbi Ezra Goldschmidt of Shiree Torah in Cincinnati, Ohio, to share words of Divrei Chizuk. We'll be followed by Rabbi Goldschmidt, who will be reciting the following five chapters of Tehillim, Parak Chaf, Chaf Gimel, Kuf, Chaf Aleph, Kuf Lamed, and Kuf Mem Beis. These are chapters 20, 23, 121, 130, and 142. Tehillim will be followed by Achenu, which will then be followed by the Mishaberach for the Ardir Chayalim, the Mishaberach for the Shluyim, and finally, Rabbi Goldschmidt will conclude with the Mishaberach Acholim, pausing to give each of us the opportunity to insert the names of all those in need of our tefillos. To sign up to receive the daily Tehillim call and reminder email, subscribe anytime at ou.org/Tehillim call. Again, that link is ou.org/Tehillim call. Please share it with family, friends, your shul list, WhatsApp groups. We would love to have more people to get on the call with us, not because we want to say we have more people on the call, but because each person who's on the call is another person davening. And as I've shared in the past, as we're approaching unbelievably soon, come March, 5 years of the call, millions and millions and millions. I came up with a number, I think the last time I did this, I don't recall offhand, but the millions and millions and millions of words of tefillos that have been said on this call by you. And so let's keep spreading the word. And whatever way we can to share the link, ou.org/Tehillim call to subscribe and receive a daily Tehillim call reminder email. And with that, bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Goldschmidt.
Thank you, Rabbi Herman. Those are some amazing numbers you just quoted. And good afternoon to everyone. It's a pleasure and privilege to once again share some words of Torah with you. This upcoming Shabbos is Parshas Vayechi. Many communities have taken Vayechi, a parsha that essentially discusses Yaakov getting his affairs in order before his passing. Many use this parsha as a springboard to discuss end-of-life issues. Notably, one of those issues worth discussing is ensuring a proper Jewish burial. But that gets a little awkward if we were to read the actual parsha this week, in which Yaakov's body is embalmed. Not exactly the sort of thing religious Jews do. The whole process sounds rather Egyptian. A system which views death in a way nothing like our own. You know, instinctually, one might have the following response to that challenge, I once did, is that all of this is before the giving of the Torah. It's anachronistic to hold earlier generations to current halachic standards, etc. I could generally subscribe to that approach. I'm not bothered, for example, by Avram serving milk and meat to his guests, the Ramban, Nachmanides, many others assume that our forefathers did not keep the Torah, at least not in the technical way that we usually think of when we talk of keeping the Torah. But in this particular instance, it's different for a couple of reasons. First of all, our burial rites are not just technical practices. They reflect a deep-seated conceptualization of the body and soul in our thoughts, such that I would expect them to reflect ancient values of our people, stretching all the way back to our beginnings as a nation, including Yaakov. There's a reason we have a Chevra Kadisha, a holy burial society, deal with these things under very specific guidelines, because they are indeed that important to get right, preparing a person for the ultimate passage. Yes, over history, religious Jews have been buried in ways that differ, in some ways, from current popular practice, but fundamentally there's an ethos to it all that is not in line with ancient Egyptian practices at all. And it's incredibly reasonable to expect the role models of our Parsha to get it right in all of this. And second of all, the more you learn about Egyptian beliefs and practices, the more that must be the case. Pretty much every natural history museum has some exhibit on this, so you all probably have some idea of what ancient Egyptians were all about already. Not to get too graphic, but they would do what we would consider the mutilation of a body, removing organs. The body was moist and susceptible to decay, so they would salt and dehydrate it, etc. They would engage in long periods of mourning and religious procedures while the body remained unburied. And if we look in Chumash, Yaakov's body seems to follow the steps of ancient Egyptian burial practices. Our text describes a 40 and 70 day period of Egypt's mourning for Yaakov while his body is embalmed, you know, which should confuse us greatly. You know, Yaakov is eventually buried in Israel, but what is going on before then? Was his body really treated like the mummies we see and read about in museums? Hard to imagine. Dr. Judah Landa, he takes up this issue in an article in the journal Hakira, which I found fascinating. It answers a lot of these issues, and I also think it teaches a valuable lesson. But it requires a careful look at the text and some disambiguation for English speakers like us. What exactly is done with Yaakov's body? So the verb chet nun tet is what is done. And indeed, it's accurate to translate that as embalm. However, what we get confused about is that that word nowadays means a very different process than what it used to. Whereas today, to embalm a body means to make significant incisions and punctures, to drain blood, inject formaldehyde, etc. All that is very much forbidden by Jewish law. The word's plain meaning is to treat a corpse with preservatives in order to prevent decay. In earlier times, that was all done externally with various oils, spices, and perfumes. And while nowadays we shouldn't need to do any of that, we try to bury bodies quickly. We also have refrigeration to slow decay. It is technically permitted to do classic embalming, the sort that externally preserves the body, which can be done in no more than a few hours. However, we also need to contend with the long mourning process which took place in Egypt. While it might be nice to think that a simple embalming was all that was done to Yaakov, what then is happening over the course of the 40-day Yemei HaChanutim, the embalming period? What's happening over the complete 70 days of Egypt mourning Yaakov's death? It very much sounds like we're talking about a more elaborate procedure, the sort of time frame that would indeed match up with the mummification process and its religious rituals. So that it looks that way is exactly the point, writes Dr. Landa. You're reading the verses, we can make the mistake of thinking so, and letting the Egyptian public think that that's what was happening was a goal. You know, let's paint the picture a bit. Yosef was a widely admired savior of Egypt, second in command, and his own father was therefore treated with the utmost honor in Egyptian culture. At the same time, though, it was an honor given on Egyptian terms. It would have been a PR mess for Yosef to directly reject traditional Egyptian burial practices, a cornerstone of their culture. Public resistance could even, God forbid, have resulted in the whole affair being out of Yosef and Bnei Yisrael's hands entirely. Negotiation to get Yaakov's body buried in Israel was apparently a big ask, such that Yaakov needed Yosef to swear to it, and Paro himself, Rashi explains, only gave in to Yosef's request because of that oath. Such a public rejection of Egypt's values and the way it looked at death would have been a disaster. And so Yosef goes about it in a much more discreet way. Yosef orders that Yaakov be embalmed, which again in the plain sense of the word is fine. Who does the embalming? The verse tells us that this was done by Avadav Harofim, his servants, the doctors. Not Paro's Chartumim, sorcerers, a term that we've already been introduced to, or even Chanutim, embalmers, but Rofim, doctors. In other words, this was to be a bland medical-style treatment with no rituals to be performed. That's what Yaakov would have wanted. It's what Yosef wanted. The text then awkwardly and at first glance repetitively says the following. It says, Vayim lo'u lo arba'im yom. His 40 days were then completed. Notice the sneaky, passive voice. Did anyone do anything over those 40 days? He would suggest no. 40 days were completed. Ki ken yimlu yemei ha-chanutim, for this was how long the days of embalmers were. You know, that's how long the typical chanutim, embalmers, pagan sorcerers of Egypt, would take to do their process. the people who didn't do this job. Vayivku oto Mitzrayim shivim yom, and Egypt cried for him 70 days. In other words, they cried with no idea that over these 70 days, none of their common rituals were being practiced. Yosef preserves his father, entirely permitted, given the circumstances, including a long journey to Israel. Egypt is given its time to mourn, as the nation of Egypt is allowed to think that Yaakov is being given a full Egyptian treatment. And then, only then, when the long mourning period has passed, and people have moved on, Yosef makes the ask and he takes the opportunity to bury his father as intended in Eretz Yisrael, in Israel. Very low-key. No cartoonim, no sorcerers, no Egyptian religious rituals, no mummification, of course. And all of that is avoided without creating a political firestorm, the kind which could endanger Yosef and his family, who are still new-ish guests in this land of Egypt. Yosef makes it work, and this is no longer a story of him violating Jewish burial practices, but instead giving them the respect they rightly deserve while navigating forces which are working strongly against him. It's a very interesting approach by Dr. Landa. Is there anything that's a relevant moral to all of this? I think absolutely. We live in a world in which making sure our loved ones and our fellow Jews receive a proper burial can sometimes be difficult. There are contemporary forces working against us too, and conversations and decisions with friends and family need to take place with the utmost sensitivity, with the realization that one wrong step could derail progress and be counterproductive to the goals of preventing a cremation, of getting a tahara, of declining modern-day embalming. Yosef manages a difficult situation as best as he can. It takes time, but it eventually gets done with him bending but not breaking on matters of major importance. We'll all likely have times in our lives, unfortunately, where we can be a Yosef, where we can talk with people who might not know better and preemptively have awkward but necessary conversations with them, accomplishing something of incredible value and ensuring a proper Jewish burial. So may we successfully follow Yosef's lead, approaching this with an urgency but also a sensitivity through which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can bless our efforts. Now recite a few paragraphs of Tehillim, beginning with Perek Chaf, chapter 20. Lamenatzeach mizmor leDavid, Yahancha Adonai biyom tzara, Yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov, Yishlach Ezecha mikodesh umtzion yisadeka, Yizkor kol minchasecha, Volasecha yedashin esela, Yitem lecha chelvavecha, V'chol atzasecha yimalei, Yiranana bishuasecha, U'vishem Elohei Inu nigol yimalei Adonai kol mishalasecha. Hata yadati ki hoshia Adonai mishicho yaneu mishemei kodsho v'gveros geishi yamino. Ele varechev ve'ele vasusim v'anachnu b'shem Adonai Eloheinu nazkir. Hima karu'u v'nafalu v'anachnu kamnu v'anifadad Adonai hoshia hamelech yaneinu v'yom koreinu. Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor leDavid, Adonai roi lo echsar, minos desha yabitzeni, amei menuchos yenahaleni. Nafshi yeshovev, yamchini v'magalei tzedek lema'an shema. Gam ki eleich begeit samaves, lo irara, ki ato imadi, shivtecha meshantecha, heima yenachamuni. Taruch lefanai shulchan, neged sorerai, bishanta v'shemen roshi, kosi revaya. Ach tov ha-chesed yedefuni kol yemei chayai, yeshavti beveis Adonai le'orech yamin. Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph, chapter 121. Shir la-ma'alos yasra inai el harim me'ayin yavo ezri, ezri me'yim Adonai osei shamayim ha-oretz. Ayitein la-madragecha ha-yanum shomerecha, inei lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzelecha al yad yiminecha. Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka ve'yareach balayla. Adonai yishmorecha mikol ra, yishmor es nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeischa uroecha me'ata ve'ad olam. Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir ha-ma'alos mima'am akim k'rasicha Adonai. Adonai shema v'koli tiyena uznecha kashuvos l'kol tachanunai. Im Adonus Tishmoya Adonai mi ya'amod, ki emecha ha-salicha lema'an tivarei, ki visi Adonai kevasa nafshi v'ledbaro hochalti. Nafshi Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker, Yachel Yisrael El Adonai, Ki Im Adonai HaChesed, V'Harbei Imo Fidus, V'Hu Yifda'ef Yisrael, Mikol Avonosav. Per Kuf Mem Bet, Chapter 132. Askil David Biyoso V'Amara Sifila, Koli El Adonai Ezak, Koli El Adonai Eschanan. Neshpoch Lefanav Sfichi, Tzarafi Lefanav Agid, V'Hisatef Alay Ruchi, יתה ידעת לנשיא ועשי, באורך זלו, זו אהליך תמנו פח לי. הבית ימין ראה ואין לי מכיר, עבד מנוס ממני, אין דורש לנפשי. דאגתי אליך, אדוני, אמרתי את המחסי חלקי בארץ החיים. הקשיב אבי נשיא, כי דלוסי מאוד, הצבילני מרודפיי, כי המצאו ממני. הוציא ממסקיר נשי להדוס לשמך, ויכתירו צדיקים, כי סגמו עליי. We'll now recite Achinu, a short prayer that the Jewish people receive every sort of physical and spiritual salvation that's needed. Achinu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim batzara uvshivya, ha'omidim bein bayam uvein bayamasha, ha'makom yirachim aleihem, yotziyim mitzara levacha, u'meafela leora, u'mishib legeula, hashta ba'agala uvizman kariv, genomar, amin. Now a prayer for the IDF, that they should have the utmost success in their heroic work. Yishavir achalosinu Abraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov hu yivareches chayalei tzava ha'agana liyisrael v'anshei kohos habitachon v'omidim al mishmar arcenu v'arei Eloheinu megvul ha'levanon v'ad bizbar mitzrayim v'min hayam ha'gadol ad lebo ha'arava v'chol makom shahim v'yabasha ba'avir u'bayam yitein Adonai es oyevinu ha'kamim aleinu nigafim lifneihem. הקדוש ברוך הוא ישמור ויציל את חיילינו מכל צרה וצוקה ומכל נגע ומחלה, ישלח ברכה והצלחה בכל מעשה ידיהם. ידבר שונאינו תחתיהם ביעטרים בחסר ישוע ובטרס יצחון, יקוים בהם הכסוב כי אדוני אלוהיכם, ההולך עמכם להילחם לכם, עם אויביכם להושיע אתכם, ונאמר אמן. Now a prayer for those in captivity that they should return home safely and soon. Yishaberach avosinu Avraham Yitzchak v'Yaakov Yosef Moshe v'Aaron David u'Shlomo hu yivarech v'yishmor v'yinsor es nedrei tzva ha'agana l'Yisrael u'shvuyad es kol achinu hanesunim b'tzaru v'shevya v'avur shekol ha'kahal ha'kadosh hazeh mispadal ba'avuram ha'kadosh baruch hu yimalei rachamim aleihem v'yotziyem mechoshek v'tzamabes v'mazroosim yinatik v'mimitzuk alseihem yoshiim v'yishivim mehera l'chik mishpechoseihem יודו לאדוני חסוב נפלאוסיו לבני אדם, כי קוימה בהם מקרא שחסוב ופדויי אדוני ישובון ובאו ציון ברינה, ושמחס עולם על ראשם, ששון ושמחה ישיגו ונשאו יגון והנחה, ונאמר אמן. We conclude with a mishaber for holim, a prayer for those who are sick. As we say it together in pause, please insert the names of those in need of a refuah shleima, a full and complete recovery. Yishaberach avosinu Abraham Yitzchak Yaakov Moshe Aaron David Shlomo hu yivarech yirapei es hacholim. הקדוש ברוך הוא ימלא רחמים עליהם, להחלימם ולרפלסם ולהחזיקם ולהחיוסם, ישלח להם מהיר רפואה שלמה מן השמיים, לכל עבריהם ולכל גידיהם בסוף שער חולי ישראל. רפואת הנפש ורפואת הגוף, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Goldsmith. I look forward to having you back on the program if you've got in your session and in your future. For us here at the Daily Tehillim Call, you join us again for our next scheduled program on Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern. As each day, we pause at this time to share a moment of tefillah, of prayer together. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing nechama, comfort, chizuk, strength, and hope to all of Klal Yisrael around the world. Wishing everyone a wonderful and safe Shabbat Shalom.